Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Pass to the end zone. Knocked down by Breland. Denying Edelman. Denying the Patriots.
There are going to be a couple more signs of improvement.
This week.
I honestly hope they lose. The loss will just convince more people that they're dead and buried, and that's exactly what they want.
Good news for you this morning.
You can't dust is collecting on the birth certificate.
Poor Tom Brady and the Patriots. They had calls go against them. My heart's bleeding for them.
Give me a break. Cry me a river. Man, New England's never had a break. Oh, please.
Talk about spoiled brat fans. They really are the best fans in football, my foot.
This is shocking to this crowd.
You have the nerve to boo Tom Brady and the New England Patriots after the 20-year run?
Yeah. I don't have any more. I don't know.
Booing that says something about you, not them.
Did you like seeing your fan base boo Tom Brady walking off the field because this offense sucks?
I don't think it matters what I think. That's what we do.
The loss will just convince more people that they're dead and buried, and that's exactly what they want.
Right now.
He wanted to cover, you know, his ass both ways.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I love Rex Ryan, though. He is enjoying this, isn't he? I mean,
it's a little pathetic.
Pathetic. It is. Well, he's been waiting a long time.
He's taking this weird
all of this
victory lap. And, oh, by the way, Rex, you have nothing to do with it.
No.
You had your opportunity.
He's sitting in the little studio. Go ahead, play some of it.
Yeah,
he's sitting
easy.
In the little studio.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead,
let me hear
excited.
It.
Why don't we just change the whole rules because New England got messed up? I'm sorry, but give me a break. Cry me a river. Man, New England's never had a break. Oh, please, give me a break. I mean, we're not changing the rules or anything else. Yeah, was there some mistakes? Absolutely, and I loved it for one.
Huh. Okay, victory
you know, it's
lap.
Funny, but here's the thing. When the Patriots do have something go their way, the rule book is changed at times, isn't it?
Yes. Well, yes. Let's start with Bill Polian.
Well, I'm just saying that when Rex is like, oh, so the Patriots got screwed on a certain type of rule. Let's change the play, you know, the rule book for the Patriots. Well, it's often changed the other way around.
Yeah.
You know, when Bill's using certain formations and
Harbaugh's
trying to figure out, wait a minute, they changed the rule.
You can't do that.
Right? They've done that in the past.
Yeah. I just think the whole idea of the officials. So you got everybody outside of New England sitting there and saying
laughing.
it's about time because New England always gets the breaks. No, they don't always get the breaks. They're just better than everybody else or have been over the 20-year period. And the people here in New England are sitting there going, oh, my God, the officials, they screwed us. They did screw you yesterday. How about Dallas? Did they screw Dallas a few weeks ago with those tripping calls? Maybe,
yes.
Yeah. All right, so
yes.
I just think the officiating is the issue.
Yeah, and again,
they suck.
Jacoby Myers catches the ball in the end zone. We don't talk about N'Keal Harry. We don't talk about any of that stuff. Catch the damn ball.
Yeah, because you're right, Lou. They got screwed, yet they still found themselves with an opportunity after that N'Keal Harry miss.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game,
sure,
they had a bunch of opportunities to win the game.
And ultimately, they didn't execute because they don't have a red zone game.
See, that's
cry me a river.
It's so, always going to be that way.
So even when you get the guy open, he drops the pass.
So here's what they're doing.
So next time when he is open, you're afraid to throw him the football, like
right,
in that final play.
Right.
I mean,
you saw it.
That's what we're dealing with right now.
Myers was open.
So here's the thing. Now you guys need to come to my world.
Yeah. What does that look like?
Acceptance. I felt like I watched the Patriots yesterday. When that game was over, I wasn't as upset as I was against Baltimore. I wasn't as upset as I was in that Houston game. There was an acceptance with it all. I appreciated the game. I know it didn't go their way. I felt like a Celtics fan.
How much crown did you have?
Well, no, I didn't. I take that back. In the second half, I got some.
Okay, now.
But I felt honestly like a Celtics fan. I'm accepting this team for who they are.
I would tell Lou Maloney to back off.
No, I am. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy the last possibly four games of Tom Brady's career to see how creative they can be to mask all of their issues, to squeeze every ounce of ability they have offensively, trick plays, whatever it takes. They don't have much. They don't have enough. But I see like that championship medal in them. You have to go out there and earn it, like Kansas City did late. They still were in this. They still had a chance. But I enjoyed that. They're not the favorites. Do we all agree?
So hold on. You're all about moral victories.
No.
Because that's what it feels like that you're saying. Moral victories. Hey, you know what? Screw it. I don't care if they win or lose. As long as they give it the old college try.
No, how about this? They're playing up to their capability. This is who they are.
This is their ceiling.
This is what they are. They don't have enough weapons. Sorry, Chatham. You know, they don't understand. They're on the same page as their quarterback. They don't have a red zone game. They don't have a running attack. They have a good defense. It was outstanding in the second half, by the way. I don't think it's going to be enough. I don't think this offense can do enough. But the trick plays, they're still in this thing. They are what they are. They're playing up to their capabilities.
That's why I can accept it.
It's almost like Newhouse.
Okay.
You know, what do you want me to do?
You can accept it. I'm disappointed. And the reason I say I'm disappointed because I expected more. I picked them to win this game in a close game, 3-point game. Because the horse has left the barn. Because I didn't think Kansas City's defense was that good, and I still don't think Kansas City's defense is that good.
Just like Houston's isn't, like Dallas's isn't.
And I thought your defense, with the exception of that second quarter where they gave up a couple of big plays.
Just like Philly isn't.
Your defense did a pretty good job against Till. You did a pretty good job against Kelsey. It was okay. Yeah. It was okay. It was enough if you had your old offense to win that game, which you'd done in the past. So I agree with you in that respect, Lou. They can get on the doorstep. They can knock on the doorstep. They can't close anything out.
So I don't know about you guys. Felt at the end of the game.
They're not good enough.
When they had a first down, they had lots of time. It wasn't like they were rushing. Did any of you think that they were going to close this game out?
I didn't feel good about it at all.
Again, when Brady ran for that first down, normally in the past, I would say they're going in.
Yep.
Now I'm like, he's all excited, but I'm like, excited for what? He knows that now once he gets under center, it's the same old team from the 20-yard line in, and it's going to be a struggle. This isn't a given. You know, even with N'Keal Harry. All right, he got screwed.
They got screwed.
First and goal from the three?
Yeah.
It was still first and goal from the three.
Yep.
James White, -2. I mean, I was like, normally you'd sit there and say, great, you got screwed. Oh, well, here you go. They're going to run this thing in. They're going to score. It won't matter. They are what they are.
No, that's the problem. And, you know, you're going to close the door entirely on them? I wouldn't, only because there's some history here with them. Plus, there's a team in 2015, the Denver Broncos, that were great defensively. Their offense was worse than this offense. And, oh, yeah, your quarterback was a lot better than where Peyton Manning was at that stretch.
This was the final exam, you know, in a very difficult stretch for them, right? Meaningful games, trying to get everybody acclimated on the fly in the toughest part of their schedule. Now, next week with Cincy, I don't think Buffalo will be pretty. But in the next 3 weeks, now you can sort of take a breath and be like, all right, are we at our starting point right now? We got 3 weeks to figure it out, you know, before we get to the postseason.
Well, I hate to say it, but I think they still have to run the table here, because if you end up in a tie with Kansas City, you lose the tiebreaker. And do you want to play the first week? Are you kidding me?
No.
They may need 2 weeks to prepare for that team.
Worst case scenario, listen, they got 3 games left. They have Cincinnati. Now, they've already videotaped everything, so they have all the answers to the test. So that's good, right? They'll never catch them. They'll never find them. The story is getting more and more buzzed.
It's embarrassing. Journalism is dead.
It really is when you think about it.
Jeez.
And I love the people who try to shame other people for calling them out for making this into a story.
Unbelievable.
Oh, what? We're not supposed to think twice about something like this? The Patriots have cameras up there? Oh, yeah. The team already came out and said that they were credentialed and they knew about it. So Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, is to blame partly.
No, the Browns.
Because he's acting all cryptic. Sorry, the Browns.
It was a Browns home game. The Browns are saying that they were credentialed and they were just taking pictures of the advanced scout, video of the advanced scout for a production they're doing. All of these teams, by the way, this is not out of the ordinary. All of these teams have their little content business now. New England has it. The Cincinnati Bengals have it. They all have it. Yeah, in which they're doing all these other productions wrapped around the football team. That's all this was. And yet it is headlines now across the country, like the New England Patriots have just cheated.
Well, again, they spent 5 minutes listening to the story initially. You got guys like Pete Prisco, CBS Sports. Do the Patriots really need to tape the Bengals? Come on.
they want it to be true.
But they didn't stick with the story because within 10 or 15 minutes it was debunked.
Yes.
Right? Or at least we're being told it was.
They'll look into it.
They'll probably find out that it was exactly that, taping a documentary. But, you know, people will run with it. Hey, you've been caught before. Why shouldn't I believe you now?
Fake news.
That's what they're going with.
Yep. This hour being sponsored by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com. All right, let's get some reaction. Let's get to some phone calls here. Scott's in a car. What do you got, Scott?
Hello?
Hey, yes, Scott, go ahead, Scott.
Oh, hey guys. I wanted to, I know you have Bill coming on shortly, and I know you can't ask him this, but I get a little tired of people sort of making excuses for, you know, the Patriot, you know, Bill and whoever for, you know, they're saying they tried to help out Brady. They tried to get receivers in here. You know, they drafted N'Keal Harry in round one. Well, the bottom line is they failed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not good enough to try. And, you know, I think Belichick, you know, would be the first one to say that to you. And, you know, if he's...
Well, Scott. Here's the problem with it, because I agree with you, because you can't say they didn't try, but you can certainly say to this point they have failed. They drafted Harry in the first round. They go out and get Antonio Brown. They got Gordon back here, and then Antonio Brown screwed up, and then they brought Sanu in here and gave up a second-round draft pick. The problem with trying to get into it with him right now is they haven't failed yet because it's not done yet. So right. He's not going to close right. the he's no, not closing right. the book on it at the end of the season.
I mean, that could have asked him last year after Pittsburgh if you failed in putting this team together.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. We haven't seen yet.
Right.
A month later, they won the Super Bowl.
Right. How would Next that question. Look? How would that look, Scott?
Yeah,
that's a great example.
It is a good example. But I honestly think this offense is much worse than last year's.
I mean.
And they continue to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, but the defense wasn't nearly as good last year when you were going through that Miami and Pittsburgh game. I'm telling you, there was nobody. Nobody. You're a liar if you call up and tell us you were optimistic after the Miami and Pittsburgh game. You're lying.
No.
You had a bad feeling last year.
I wasn't.
Yeah, but you know what? At least
you weren't worried? You weren't worried.
No, I said I agree with you. I didn't think they could do it last year.
So we're in the same book that you were in last year, and I think we kind of feel the same way. Lou has found a way of dealing with it. Christian and I have
It's called green teamer coping.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called he's no longer a green teamer. He's a red teamer.
And I'm worried and disappointed.
But if I had told you that, you know, this team, they're playing the Chiefs, and, you know, everybody, didn't we all think that they were going to come? This would be the week where they would try to establish the run?
They tried to.
Well, I mean,
early on, look at how many times Sony Michel ran with the ball.
Five for 8 yards.
That was the problem.
That was a setup for the double pass. That was a setup for the flea flicker. Hey, we need to prove to the Kansas City Chiefs we need to force them to overcommit because they know that we want to run it because that's what we did last time. So, sure enough, we get a couple advantageous calls, two pass interference penalties to keep the drive going, and then a flea flicker to give yourself points right off the bat.
Second most.
Hold on. Then you get. So this is how great of a position they were in.
Oh, they were in a great position.
Then you get an interception.
Oh yeah.
And then you have -1 yard or -2 yards.
It's 1st and 10, up 7-0 after that pick, on Kansas City's 40, and you're thinking, here we go, right? And I'm sitting at home laughing, going, oh my God, I was doubting this team. They're gonna smoke Kansas City at home. You know, they're going to go up 14-0, 10-0, and of course they get nothing. They lose a yard.
Yep.
And then they turn around, next thing you know, they get a field goal. And then I think it's when you came back.
You had the 12-play drive, too, with the...
Right, the next drive was the field goal blocked.
Correct. Yep. So you left 10 points right there on the... So you scored 7. You left 10 out on the field. There's 17 points you would have had.
Yeah.
So, all the first quarter.
And then the Brady pick, too, as well.
So I keep thinking about these are signs, and these are things that are correctable. You should be able to fix this type
of
stuff.
It's week 14.
Well, no, but Jacoby Myers is just, he is who he is. It's the Newhouse effect. You're asking for more than he's capable of giving you. So stop being upset about it, to your point. Hey, this is what it is.
Down 17-7. Hey. Then you had the ball first and 10 from Kansas City's 30.
Guys, I think
when you went for it on fourth down.
Listen, and you didn't get
it. You didn't get that either.
I think we've seen enough of it. So you saw them play the Stiffarinos early on in the season, and they were beating up on all of them. And we all had the question, what are they going to be like when they face the good teams? Then they went through a stretch of 5 teams that we all thought were pretty good. They won 2 of the 5. And guess what? The 2 of the 5 are now below 500. Both Philadelphia and
Dallas. They're a laughing stock.
Right.
Philly and Dallas.
So the 3 that you have to beat in your own conference, you lost to.
Well, I will say this. I always try to find some good news.
Oh, good.
At least the teams that you lost to where all these are teams that are going to be in the playoffs. Lost to Baltimore, that'll have the number one seed. You lost to Houston. Yeah. It's not like like you lost to a bunch of chumps.
Well, see, that was the positive news last year. Last year, you just sort of lost flukes to bad football teams.
Well, yeah, all the teams that you lost to, none of them made the playoffs.
They couldn't win on the road.
But I thought that was like a good thing. Like, you just lost to bad teams.
Okay, listen, I'm trying to
find... You're still beating good teams. You're beating Kansas Cities of the world. You're beating all these other good teams.
And
so now the opposite is a good thing.
Yeah. Well, because you're sitting there going, okay, all this is fixable, guys.
Or it means you're the fourth best team in the AFC.
No, I think a lot of people forget last year. Last year, when they lost in Miami, in Pittsburgh, and they lost...
But Miami was a fluke.
Jacksonville, Detroit,
Tennessee. Miami was not a fluke. Miami was not a fluke.
Those, to me, were more understandable than what's going on now.
I think you're crazy. I don't think
what's going on now is a guy... throwing you a ball underhand and you dropping it.
Christian, we all sat here last year and said they can't win on the road.
No.
They're going to have to play on the road.
Don't say all of you
people. You all did.
I was not.
No,
I said they were going to the Super Bowl.
That was 3 weeks later.
No, it wasn't.
3 weeks later.
Oh, please.
No.
3 weeks later after they lost to Miami and Pittsburgh at the end of the season?
3 weeks after.
You're out of your mind.
After Miami and Pittsburgh.
Oh, shut up. You know what? Listen, I'm sorry. You can't see straight. You don't want to give credit where credit's due. We have audio tape proving it.
They're going to go to the Super Bowl.
Thank you, Ryan, again.
That was right after the Pittsburgh game, Ryan. When was that?
That's not true.
Yep. When was that?
Sure was.
Yeah, please. Ryan wants a good Christmas
that was
present.
3 weeks later. What are you talking about? Eric's in New Hampshire. You're on OMF. Hi, Eric.
Good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for having me on. I got a quick question about the wide receivers and why do they stink. Obviously, Edelman does not fall into any one of these following categories. Are they overwhelmed, undercoached, dumb, or are they just not good enough?
Is there an E?
Well, I felt like you had three. There's only one in there.
E is Joe Judge.
Spreading himself too thin.
He
correct.
Wants you to say all of the above.
I did say all of the above.
He loves that topic.
You offset all the good with all these blocked punts with having a group of sucky wide receivers. So
I
don't know.
I can't get my receivers to run the right route. I better make sure the punt return team can block a punt. To me, I look at these wide receivers, and Eric, and this is the problem, and this is where you see Brady sort of having these issues, is that too many times they don't run the route properly. They don't have an understanding of this offense. So when they are actually run it correctly and they are open, it doesn't matter because he doesn't trust that they're going to actually run it the right way those three out of six times, because the other three, they don't. Or they just drop it when they finally run it well, and he's like, what the hell am I doing?
All right, I'm going to pick all the above. They all suck. One more point before I go. Who's worse, Jerome Bogar or Angel Hernandez?
Angel.
Wow, that's pretty close.
I got more history with Angel as far as this guy's the first time I've seen him. It was incompetence.
Well, Bogar, it's the whole crew, because the crew screwed up on this one, too. It's not just him.
You knew it from the very beginning. I was telling you guys this. I know you guys go back and watch it. Watch it on the very first drive, I think, from Kansas City. It was first and 10. They threw a completion to Kelsey for 19 yards. There was a holding by Kansas City. This guy actually looks over to Bill's side and gives the gesture like, do you want to decline it?
Yes.
You want to decline it?
Yes, I saw
it. And you can see all of a sudden this face, this look over his face like, what?
He caught
it. And he looked at his other ref and he's like, and then he gives the catch symbol like, oh, he caught it? Oh, okay. You know what? We're going to replay. And he says, yeah, holding offense, repeat second down. The
official head of his ass.
No, it was actually first down. And you were asking Bill if he wanted to decline the penalty on a 19-yard catch to Kelsey. It was like 5 minutes into the game, and I'm sitting there going, Jesus, that guy just screwed up the whole thing up right there.
Yeah, but here's the one. They levied a 5-yard penalty on a penalty that required a 10-yard penalty.
That's probably the worst
and
one,
nobody,
to be honest with
you. And nobody else in that entire officiating crew picked up on it. Not a single one of those guys.
So instead of giving 10, they actually gave 5.
5. They're supposed to jump into that and say, whoa, you screwed up.
Illegal use of the hands is 10, not 5.
Correct.
What are you doing?
I have no idea. That is amazing. You tell me.
Jacoby Myers, catch the ball.
I take it back. I've seen it, but usually a referee comes in right away and says, no, the ball's supposed to be over here or whatever.
Right.
Nobody did that.
Before they snap it, they run over the ball and say, hold on.
Exactly. You see that. This didn't happen. Amazing. Sean's in Idaho.
Hello and good afternoon there, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call there. You know, here's what I have to say. If you're going to investigate the Patriots, why not investigate the officiating, okay? You gentlemen made a good point about how bad the Patriots got screwed. It's not just from yesterday's game. I've watched a lot of the NFL games this season. There are a lot of calls that are being missed by the officiating.
It's terrible.
I watched the Jets-Cowboys game. There was questionable calls toward the end of that one. Lions Packers Monday Night Football in late October of this year.
Miami.
There was a roughing, roughing the passer penalty, and I mean all of this, gentlemen, goes all the way back to the 2018 NFC Championship game. I mean these officials are worse than the replacement officials.
Well, it's very interesting. It's very interesting you mention that, because for years people were screaming about you can't have part-time officials. How many times did you hear that? These guys have jobs during the week. Okay. Well, guess what the league did? They got rid of a lot of those guys. They moved on with those guys, and they got new guys, younger guys, who have this as their full-time profession. Well, how's that working for everybody?
You know, you think, and you think about it too. That's 14 points the Patriots had taken away out of BS calls. Okay,
it's not 14.
Where's 14?
No, it's not 14.
I mean, that fumble was. I mean, Seymour should have scored, and then Gilmore. I mean, looking at the video,
it was the same drive.
I didn't see his knee on the ground at the 3-yard line. That should have been a touchdown over the pylon. The Patriots did get screwed yesterday, and it was the worst.
All right, we agree with that.
First off, the Gilmore fumble recovery was the same drive that N'Keal Harry, they didn't rule a touchdown. All of it would have been forgotten if Jacoby Myers catches a simple pass in the end zone for a touchdown.
Could have erased everything.
Could have erased all that little referee suck. Now, they still would have sucked, but... You get 14 points. That's just made up. That's make believe.
I always sit there going,
I'll catch the ball in the end zone.
So the fact is, I think the reality for me is that it isn't fixable. The progress that I'm seeing
coming to my world.
No.
Acceptance, Christian.
It's not progress.
Just sit back and enjoy.
They're
watch
like
the game.
Quick flashes.
Acceptance,
right? So the defense that they go against will never really be threatened. Hey, listen, they're good for a couple good plays, guys. But when it really matters, all we have to do is pressure them, threaten them a little bit, stress them out just a tad. You know, and they can't win. So they don't have anybody who can win. They got one guy, everybody. We're going to take him out. And he will throw it to the other. I can just see the guys watching tape right now. Hey, Ferentz is going to be your center. We're going to go over the middle. Ferentz got wrecked in this game.
So can you do me a favor and answer this question? Because I've heard a few people say this. They don't feel as bad with this loss as they did the last two.
That's me.
You're crazy.
Why?
Because
he likes moral victories.
The
Baltimore
they're getting the most out of what they have, Glenn.
The Baltimore game, I could clearly look at and say, okay, one, it was on the road. Two, it's the first time they've actually seen Lamar Jackson in person. This is a very difficult offense that they have to prepare for. I get it. They lose. Okay? Now you move on to Houston. Again, you are playing out on the road. You're dealing with the flu element with some of the players.
More
excuses. So some of the players are worn down. Mm-hmm. Right? So that is
what you're saying is no excuses.
There are no excuses for this game yesterday.
No.
You're at home, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't see Kansas City right now in Baltimore's class.
Again, this is just an acceptance of them trying to get as much as they can out of this offense.
It's my personal acceptance
that this is who they are. They can't. I don't know if you got the Rodney Harrison cut, Ryan, back there about the difference between this team and years past, and it's the truth. And I've realized that, and I just say, you know, I'm going to sit back and watch them because they're limited.
Still really concerned about the Patriots. Today it just seems like they played with a sense of desperation with all the trick plays. I'm used to the Patriots being able to line up and just beat people. They no longer can do that.
He's right. That's exactly it.
So can I be upset and sit there and say, oh, my God, they can't drive the ball down the field. I'm losing my mind.
Because I thought this team could win the whole thing. Now, still, can they? I'm not going to close the door entirely because I got burned a year ago. I'm not going to play
you,
that same game.
You really
game.
Watched
I
that
don't
game?
Feel good.
Are you really watching that game disappointed?
Yes.
That they don't convert on third down, that they can't move the ball up and down the field, that they can't score in the red zone?
What have you been watching? I'm disappointed that they're not good enough. And that was a home game where they play much better.
Maybe it's just my
mentality. And they're playing against the team that I thought you could do some damage against their defense.
Maybe it's my expectation going in.
It is.
I didn't think that they would just show up here against Kansas City. Like I said on Monday, I don't think they're going to just show up in Kansas City and everything's going to be different. This is who they are.
So you're
this
a green teamer.
This is what they are.
Number three seed.
No, yeah.
Second round of the playoffs, that'll be fine for you.
No, I've accepted.
You become Gilroy.
That they're not. I'm not going to turn on my TV every Sunday and expect them to move the ball down the field. I'm not expecting Sony Michel to just run the football. I'm not expecting them to get at the 10 or the 5 or the 7-yard line and not feel stressed because they know they can't get that 5-7 yards.
My problem
they are what they are.
My problem is they are what they are. I agree with that. But my problem is 14 weeks into it, that's my concern. They are what they are. And offensively, not good. Defensively, very good.
They played
two of
the worst defenses in the NFL.
Yep.
And they had the same problem. And defensively, do you
think they're very good?
Oh, I still think they're great.
Oh, I think their defense is
I think they
good.
Had a couple bad plays in the first half.
The Hardman play.
Hardman play was, and I would chalk that up as Mahomes just being a badass.
Yeah.
I mean, he actually just threw that ball so far, just knowing that Hardman was going to be there.
I would say they were very good in the second half. They're outstanding. I think 96 total yards. Mahomes threw for like 56. All I know is they've gone up against three very good quarterbacks. They've given up 37, 28, and now 23. The only other competent offense they had with all their skills was Dallas, and they gave up 9 points in the rain at home against a team that obviously sucks.
Yeah, but their
some
offense,
of y'all football
but,
so
sucks.
But that's their defense to me. It isn't nope. the you know.
But also,
it's not the offense.
The other
it's
thing
the
is
offense.
That, it's not think about how many defense. Times they punt. They
Thank
punt
you.
So many times.
Thank you.
I think that number is skewed a little bit for the amount of opportunities that they get based on the fact that the offense doesn't help them out at all. If you want to go into the whole complimentary football. Like, that's what it is. They were 2-for-12 on third down. 2-for-12 on all their third down opportunities. So,
see, I think
they
the
can't
offense,
stay on the field.
Yeah, I think the offense has a big part in that, Lou, when you're looking at those numbers. And it did again in this game yesterday. That offense should have gotten themselves. They should have been up with, 17 points early on in that game. Easily. And they didn't. And that
pays
the price on your defense as well. And the other thing is, look at the number of plays early on in that game. Kansas City was getting a lot more opportunities. Pete's in Methuen. Hey, Pete.
Because they couldn't stop him.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
You there?
Yeah,
we're here, Pete. Go.
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling about the Patriots offensive line.
Okay.
I'm thinking that people are blaming the receivers a lot, and they're overrating the defense, and they're overrating other parts of the team, and they're not looking at the offensive line. Because if I recall,
everybody's looking at the
ago,
offensive line, Pete. They've been talking
know,
about the
Sony,
offensive line every week.
Okay, but James, how about James White and Sony Michel? Weren't they a lot better 2 years ago?
They were better last year.
They had a fullback. And
Sony Michel had over 100 yards in playoff games last year, right?
Exactly, and they're not doing anything this year.
Everybody's been saying that all year long. It's like you just discovered,
well,
you know, some new planet
but,
or something.
I'm trying to tell you, in the defense is so overrated, it's ridiculous. They were comparing them to the 86 Bears and the 2000
well, that,
Ravens.
That was, oh, I agree that was a stretch. But in the league, in this league right now, where would you rate that defense?
Right. They're good.
Maybe fifth?
Yeah,
they're higher than that. They're better than
they're
that.
They're good.
Well, they played nothing.
Who's better?
In the first eight games, they played all losing teams. Every time they play a decent team, they lose.
Well, the same thing happened in New Orleans, and everybody was talking about New Orleans defense, and now New Orleans defense is giving up 35 and 45 points a game.
Well, good. They're a good defense.
This defense is top three.
Disrespectful to like the great historic defense to compare them to it, this is a good defense.
Other than San Francisco, who's better? Chicago's not.
Just
who's
because
better?
You're the best defense in the league doesn't mean you're historic. They're a good defense.
I just said I'm not putting them in that historic.
Well, we were.
We were.
Yeah,
yes,
it was
because
a mistake. I wasn't, but it was a mistake.
Right, because you got to wait until the entire season plays out. You can't base it on a sample of six or eight games, especially when they don't have great records. But right now in this league, you wouldn't say they're top three defensively?
I think they are.
Okay, we agree then. Here's Michael in Providence.
Hey, guys. How we doing tonight?
Good.
What's up?
Good. So I've got a question for you guys. So would you guys say that the National Football League, in order to win, you have to adjust with the personnel you have? You have to adapt to your strengths, right? That's a pretty self-explanatory thing.
Yes.
So my question is, why hasn't Tom, Bill Belichick, and McDaniels got together and said, hey, listen, we have a couple of young guys. They're not picking the offense up. I think you guys had Mike Lombardi on the other day talking about how this is a very complicated offense to pick up. It's not easy. Who was it? Chad Ochocinco came in. He couldn't pick it up. There have been historically people that come in, and they can't learn this offense. So why has the conversation not happened? Let's dumb this thing down and get these guys the ball on some bubble.
Simple answer, Michael. Hey, Michael, it's a simple answer.
No.
You dumb it down, and you're going to be the easiest team in the league
right,
to defend.
Though. I mean, not with everybody.
Not right. Yeah, you will.
Not with everybody. I'm just
yeah,
saying.
You
got, did you see what N'Keal Harry did that pass, whatever you want to call it? You're telling me you can't find simple, as Christian put it the other day, dummy-proof routes for him to get him more involved in the offense?
Well, I guess you could get him more involved in the offense, but this dumbing down idea, the reason that the New England Patriots have been so good over the years, Lou,
not the whole scheme, because one individual.
Yeah, it's because they confuse people.
They get him the ball more.
They confuse people. I think if you dumb it down, I think you're in serious trouble, because I think there are too many good coordinators out there that are going to pick you apart.
The Jackson secret to all victory lies in the organization of the non-obvious.
What's that, Jack?
You
missed that. That was Lombardi. Giving us quotes Aurelius. Of inspiration.
That's my next book, Marcus Aurelius.
Yeah. Marcus Aurelius Maximus.
Perfect. I like it. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for taking the call. It is a little tongue-in-cheek, but I think it's true. Is the offensive line is so good at letting the D get by them. Why have they only had two screen pass plays in the last 3 weeks? I mean, if they're so good at letting them by, why don't they do...
No, they've been more than that, because they haven't been working. Matter of fact, the one they gave yesterday, it was to White, and I think he lost yardage on
one of
those yesterday. Yeah. And it was bunched up, and there was like confusion, and because they come at Brady. So the idea of getting the pressure off of the blitz is to go to the screen. But notice what happens. Tom Brady is fighting for his life because they're still blitzing him on the screen. And by the time they get in position where he's going to throw the ball.
I think it's predictable. I do too. They can't move the football, and they're defending the screen.
But they run Brady too quickly.
Oh, yeah.
That's part of the problem,
okay.
Right? Screen is
built. Makes sense. Thanks, guys.
Isn't the screen built to actually
By the way, did you see
that,
this little update here at 5:11? Oh, this filming by the Cincinnati Bengals? So this was Dave Clark and Tyler Dragon in Cincinnati Inquirer. It says, the Patriots had a film crew on hand at First Energy Stadium for Cincinnati Bengals' loss against the Browns. New England cleared it with Browns PR department. The film crew were credentialed for the game. Bengals scout noticed videotaping in the Browns press box, alerted Bengals executives. It says, a Bengals source told the Inquirer that they believe the Patriots were stealing signs from the Bengals sideline during Week 14 game in Cleveland.
You can do that.
So NFL is investigating the situation. Patriots were reportedly adamant that the videotape was a big misunderstanding, but apparently, the league is going to look at the film.
Yeah, and take it out of context. Yeah. And obviously, the Patriots are reporting adamantly that the videotaping is a big misunderstanding.
NFL security was notified and spoke to the Patriots employee and obtained the video. So, we'll see the video. Probably
of course not. We'll never see the video.
Take it away, Kamish.
This is unbelievable how this story is taking off. Well, I guess what? We got Bill Belichick coming up next, so why don't we ask him about it?
Can't wait.
All right, see what his reaction is. We'll do that coming up next right here on OMF.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
I'm back here in OMF. It is Patriots Monday, and each and every Patriots Monday, Bill Belichick joins us. He's on his way down from the office. He's brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, McFarland Energy, the area's premier heating oil provider, Needham Bank, can we be your bank, and by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Excuse me. We were just talking off the air about a couple of the other games yesterday. The Buffalo Bills, if Allen is a little bit more accurate, They might have won that game against Baltimore, overthrowing a couple of receivers and two obvious touchdown opportunities. And then we were talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, who has kind of been in and out. You know, you look at San Francisco, their running game is terrific. Their defense is excellent. And he's been in and out. But I just watched a half-hour highlight thing today, play-by-play. And that's the best game I've seen him play this year.
I'm starting to look at San Fran differently than maybe a lot of other teams.
Well, if he's good,
they're showing that they can win different ways. You know, against good teams. You know, that game against Baltimore, they lost. That was a tough game. They lost to Seattle earlier in the row. They went down in New Orleans. They it wasn't a defensive game by any means, but they show they can win in a track meet. They demoralized the Green Bay Packers. It's a team that I feel like is having like two or three seasons in one. You know what I mean? Through the experience and playing in big, big games against some of the best teams in the league, and they're coming out winning a few of them too. So I still think that's a team that I think comes out of the NFC.
Well, I tell you what, and every time if they do take an L like they did against Baltimore, they rebound like a championship team. It's like the loss, they don't let one loss affect the next game. They're not gonna sit there and feel sorry for themselves, as opposed to, which is weird, like Houston, who has one of their better games, rolls out the next week against Denver, comes out in their silly-ass Average Joe costumes, and gets smoked at home.
Jacksonville effect.
What?
Had their Super Bowl against New England.
Honestly, they'll make the playoffs, and somebody will beat them up, and maybe they win their division. Who knows?
Tennessee
looks really strong.
Okay, so two of the next three games are against Tennessee. One home game, one road game. That's going to determine who gets into the playoffs and who wins in that division. I gave you the other one about Tennessee because we spent last week or two talking about Tom Brady and the possibility he might go with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. Sounds to me like they're 6-1 with Ryan Tannehill. Sounds to me like Tennessee is looking right now, negotiating right now, to set up Tannehill long-term quarterback. Probably a mistake. They're buying into the short sample they've had so far. But second of all, maybe Vrabel thinks that Tom Brady is not going to leave New England. Maybe he's not going to be available. Because why would you go after Tannehill?
Can I give you a quick update here?
Just
the whole camera story or whatever. Diana Rossini tweeted out, the Patriots no longer have the tape. I called the Bengals. They will not release the ESPN. The league also has it. This from Burt Breer. More on the Pats Bengals. The Patriots videographer set his tripod up right in front of the Bengals scouts in the Cleveland press box. So one of them flagged it to another staffer who took it to the league official on hand. The NFL official then took the Pats video guy's SD cards. It's obviously not a videotape anymore.
So there's no shame. There's no hiding anything. We're setting up right next to you. They go, oh, what the hell? Screw this. Get this guy out of here. We're playing him next week. And they squeal on him, which means he was doing something wrong, but he wasn't. But they don't know what's going on, and they smell something fishy, and they get him out of there, which is completely paranoia. That's what it is.
Well,
paranoia,
this probably
fear.
Isn't anything, hopefully. Because if not, you would just sit there and say, really, dude?
Yeah, but where does the story popping up now that the Bengals source telling the Inquirer they believe the Patriots were stealing signs from the Bengals sideline? They weren't doing it positioned on the sideline. They were doing it up in the press box, which is totally within the rules. You could do that. Teams do that.
Listen, you know what this is, Glenn? They see them over there. They see the flying Elvis. They see a camera.
Are you sure it's legal from there?
Yes.
Not like certain areas where all scouts are able to be. Why does this story even have legs? Why didn't someone just come out and say?
Because it's the Patriots.
You know what? Even if they did, it's legal.
Patriots.
Well, why wouldn't a guy like Burt Breer, who covers the Patriots locally, why wouldn't they just come out, Mike Reese? Someone, listen, even if they were up there, it's legal to be up there.
See,
why
because
is
there was a picture,
a roof over your head.
There's a picture going around that they remembered always. It was like illegal to tape here, not illegal to tape here, which was the press box, which was the. Where whatever the club seats are, wherever all the coaches hang out, where all the scouts hang out, where the media hang out. That is a good point, though. Why doesn't someone shed some light on this and say, hey, it doesn't even matter?
Why would an NFL official?
It doesn't matter.
Well, let me ask you a question. Why would an NFL official get involved and take their SD cards if it's perfectly legal to be videotaping?
That's
from
a good point.
Are you sure it is from that spot? Is that one of the illegal spots? Because why would an NFL official say, yep, give me those right now? Why wouldn't he just sit there, look at the Bengals guy, and say, hey, it's perfectly legal.
You're right. That's a valid question. But I do remember that being the case. So what were they guilty of? Well, they told them not to tape on the sideline.
Yep.
They did it anyways because they wanted a bit better vantage point.
You could only do it from
illegal
here.
Illegal to tape here, not illegal to tape here.
I'm just saying, maybe you can do it up here, but not up there. You know, you can't just anywhere but the sidelines. Maybe there's just a certain area you can do it from, and the press box is one of those areas you can't.
Yeah, no.
So why would an NFL official sit there and say he knows the rules, right?
Well, more importantly, do you think the PR people or the executives at the Cleveland Browns know what the rule is? They probably just see Patriots in a video camera, and then it triggers some defensive response where we got to protect ourselves. They're out to cheat us. They're out to get us. We need two wins. We need two wins. That's what I think it is. Yeah, that they hear this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They have a camera. What are they doing? They're not supposed to be here. What are they doing here?
Yeah. What? I just don't know why an NFL official would get involved if it's perfectly legal.
I think if this were any other team, I think you'd be looking at it totally different.
Of course.
Love to have the problems that the Patriots are facing right now.
But if I remember correctly, the way the rule was that you could do it, providing you were doing it upstairs, with a roof over your head. You couldn't do it on the sidelines.
Yeah, I got to find that photo. Did you find it in there? I saw you looking for it. You didn't find it, the actual wording? Glenn?
No, I'm trying to find it right now.
Yeah, you were looking for it. Yeah, I remember.
So the conspiracy theory would be that the Patriots were filming their scout, and while we were doing it, hey, if we can get some extra shots of their sideline.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And do something. We'll mask it as we're videotaping our scout, but what we're really doing is, hey, focus here. And then once in a while, when the play's about to be called in, just move that camera slightly down to the right, then back up to back up to the scout again, then down, slightly back down to the right, back up to the scout again.
It's like it's Ocean 11, and they're all trying to steal the money from the casino. It's like 15 people involved, you know, contortionists and all these different people.
So there's a bunch of rules. I'm reading one. Existing rules entitle scouts to press box seats where you can film for cameras involving their teams next to opponents. Scouts monitor hand signals for information that could help their coaching staff during games. But you can't do it on the sideline. So you can do it up in the press box. You can do it in these areas.
I know I'm right about that.
You can do it. You just can't do it on the sideline. But this hysteria, and we all remember that nobody at the time really understood what the Patriots were being slapped on the wrist for.
I just find
a little
it
bit
odd.
More than a slap on the wrist for Spygate.
It odd that an NFL official would then walk up to the Pats video guy and take the SD cards out of the camera. Why? If it's legal, why would you do that?
Why doesn't the camera guy say, it's legal what I'm doing?
What are you doing?
You zoomed in. You used the zoom button.
It doesn't matter.
You zoomed in.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I was filming the Bengals guy because it's perfectly legal.
And I'm allowed to. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Again, that's what it is. It's more hysteria. It's more paranoia.
All right, so this is interesting. It's 5:46 right now. Bill usually joins us at 5:35. And so right now he's 10 minutes late. That is unusual for Bill. He's been a couple of minutes late, maybe once or twice, but usually he is right on time for all this.
And
is he coming down? He's coming down now. So maybe he's been dealing with some of this. I have no idea. We'll find out when we talk to him. Here he is now. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, yeah, throw those headphones on. We already got most of the stuff out of the way. Now that you're
answered all the questions
now
for you.
Now that you're a big TV guy, you know how all the mechanics around this stuff work, so... we're going to get to the game in a second. How are you, by the way? You okay today?
Yeah.
Good.
Good.
Yeah. Good. This story out of Cincinnati, which is crazy. Bengals source telling the Cincinnati Inquirer they believe the Patriots were stealing signs from the Bengals sideline during this last week's game in Cleveland. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I heard about this, and, you know, evidently this is our production people on the TV show that were there. And I have absolutely nothing to do. We have absolutely nothing to do with anything that they produce, direct, or shoot, or anything. I've never even seen any of their tapes or anything else. So this is something that we 100% have zero involvement with. This is something that you'd have to talk to the production people about, or what they were doing, or whatever it was.
So was this your advance?
We've never seen anything that they've shot other than what's been on TV.
Was this your advanced scout? Because the way it was first described, your advanced scout and somebody was filming your advanced scout, we've heard that story.
I guess there's some kind of thing that they do with different departments, and they have, you know, trainers and equipment people and scouts and so forth. And again, I have no idea, so you'd have to talk to them about exactly what the project was. But from a football standpoint, we have absolutely nothing to do with the production people and what they do for the TV show and everything else. I tape a TV show with them, but there's no involvement whatsoever with them. I've never seen a tape or anything that they've shot anywhere in any capacity.
Albert Breer reporting the NFL official took the Pats video guy's SD card away from the camera. Are you aware of that? Or?
Yeah, I think that from what I understand, that we've given them everything that whatever they were doing there for the TV show, whatever it was, that they've given them everything. Again, I have no idea what really this is about or you know, what the any specifics on it. All I know is what I've been told, and yeah, I'm sure that they gave them everything that they wanted.
Is that an area where it is legal to film?
No, no, the press box? No, absolutely
not.
But
you can't do it from up there?
No, a scout can't film the opponents as an advanced scout, and our video people are not even allowed to point the camera at our opponents in pregame warm-up or their side of the field or anything else to test out their equipment. So they 100% know all of our scouts, all of our video people and everything know what that is. And again, I have nothing to do with, you know, the TV production shows and stuff like that. I have no idea what they do or what their projects are or anything else.
Well, it seems like it may just be one big giant misunderstanding based on, you know, Kraft Productions and the guys over there shooting a show called Do Your Job, and one of them was the scouts. That's what it seems like, at least as far as what we can tell.
Yeah, I have no idea. Again, I don't have anything to do with TV productions or anything else. I have enough other stuff to do. And so what did or didn't happen, what they were involved or weren't involved with, and so forth, I have no idea whatsoever.
So let me make this, try to let you make it clear. Your advanced scout was there at the game, but he was not videotaping on the field or coaches' signs from across the field.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. No, as I understand it, they were videotaping him, trying to show, you know, kind of what an advanced scout does or something like that. I don't know. You'll have to wait and see the show, I guess, and see how it's presented. I don't know.
You must love this new media world and the way it operates, huh, with content and all this other stuff that's done. But it's amazing that this would all pop up today out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, it's not out of nowhere. If it happened yesterday or whenever it happened, I don't know. Yeah, I mean.
Well, the fact that you're telling us that, and we're also hearing that from other people who claim exactly what you just said, that it was for another TV show, and yet it's being presented. We've been watching it all afternoon on ESPN and elsewhere that, you know, this was videotaping the signals on the sideline. I mean, we're going back 10 years, Bill. It's all over again.
Yeah. Well, no, that's again, from a football standpoint, we absolutely know what the rules are, and we are 100% in compliance, to the best of my knowledge, of every single rule that we're responsible for. And what another part of the organization does or doesn't do as part of their, whether it's game presentation or TV shows or stuff like that, I mean, I have no idea what that is.
Well, I was just thinking, because I know when all this thing went down, it was an understanding of where you can and cannot videotape the sidelines. You can't do it from the sideline or from the field level. But
you
always thought there were areas
you
can do it from in the stadium. You can't.
No.
Nowhere.
Nowhere.
Huh.
No.
I thought it was.
We were all wrong.
I thought it was in a covered area upstairs. In a covered area, you could do it if there was an overhang or a covered area. Wasn't there?
No, the advanced scouts is in a press box.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no camera for an advanced. He can use binoculars and take notes and, you know, all that. But no, he can't.
And the
video
film.
Record the plays or anything else that's going on. Absolutely not.
So the only film is just the all 22, the films that you guys, I guess, would just use for any other.
You can use TV copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can use TV copy, sure.
Okay. So let's get to the game. You've watched the game again today. Feel any differently than you did last night?
No, not really. No.
You know, I felt that. I guess what I've kind of read from you and maybe Tom, even this morning and yesterday, was just the understanding or the realization just how resilient this team is. It seemed like they had every opportunity to give up, and maybe it's just a moral victory, but I thought that still looked like a team that refuses to give up and is still willing to get better and understands that they can get better. Because with everything that went wrong in that game, you still had an opportunity to win. And it wasn't because of luck. It was because, in my opinion, you know, that they kept fighting.
Yeah, I think I said after the game, I thought our players competed hard for 60 minutes, and look, we got two touchdowns basically, you know, called back, and whatever we think of those calls. But, I mean, those are things you just got to, you know, we just got to play through, and really we're focused on what we can do better and not what somebody else did or didn't do. We can't control that, but certainly there were things that were factors in the game that, you know, could have gone differently, would have helped us if they had gone differently, but they didn't. So, again, we can't do anything about those. We'll just have to focus on what we can do going forward. That's what we're going to do.
So I know you make constant adjustments throughout the game, especially defensively, but it seemed like that second half you guys really bottled them up. Was it just execution? Was it something you showed them differently? Or what was it that made your defense look so great in that second half?
Yeah, well, I think our players played well. They played competitively, like we said. Kansas City has a lot of great offensive players, and Andy's does a great job. He makes it tough on defenses, but I thought our players really competed well, and you know we made enough plays to keep them from scoring too many points. Certainly, some plays we could have played better or coached better, but they're tough to stop. They're a good football team, good offensive football team, good defensive team.
Tom Brady and your offense has always been terrific over the years, working off of the blitz. Brady beats it with that quick pass. There are a lot of things you've been able to do. You're seeing more and more teams do it. Spagnuolo yesterday, especially on third down situation, really blitzing at you and a lot of pressure coming right up the middle. Is there a way that you can release some of that right now, or is that short game just kind of taken away from you, especially with the way that they're all over Edelman?
Yeah, well, we hit some and we didn't hit some. We had some opportunities to hit some other ones. And we're just going to have to find a way to deal with it. You know, we've always dealt with it. It's always not like we've never been pressured before. But, you know, we've seen man, we've seen zone, we've seen blitz zone, we've seen blitz man, we've seen max blitz. So, well, you know, we have to be able to deal with all of it.
So the past 2 weeks you guys have had fast starts on both sides of the ball. But there seems to be a dip where you kind of lose it. Is there anything that stands out to you as far as why or what's holding you guys back as far as sustaining those fast starts? Because it's a fast start, then it's a...
No, I think we just have to be a little more consistent. Continue to try to find ways schematically from a coaching standpoint to put our players in the best position that we can. And I know our players will work hard to execute and play fundamentally as well as they can. So, and that's what our opponents are doing. So, I mean, it's pro football.
All right, I know you're probably not going to say an awful lot about the officiating, and we've talked a lot about it during the course of the day, but there are a couple questions I have about the officiating. One, on the fumble that was knocked out before Kelce hit the ground, didn't they change the rule a few years ago, Bill? Wasn't it like a Denver-San Diego game, and it was a play, and they said they changed the rule to the officials were not going to blow the whistle on a case like that unless the guy was completely wrapped up. Did I miss something there? Weren't they supposed to let it go when somebody picks it up and runs with it?
Yeah, again, I think that's really a question for, you know, the officials to answer. But I'd say fundamentally, you know, yes, that those close plays, they have an opportunity to let those go because if it's a turnover, that's going to be automatically reviewed anyway, and there's always the opportunity to correct it.
All right, and in the N'Keal Harry touchdown, and he certainly was in the end zone, we've had this conversation with you before. So they review all the scoring plays. But if you have a play that should have been a scoring play that's not, you don't get it reviewed. But it has seemed to be the custom of most officials to call it a touchdown. Therefore, it gives them the opportunity to sit, review it, and get it right. Were you a little bit taken back that they did not do that? Because there were two officials. They disagreed. One said he was blocked out, and they were kind of having a conversation as to what they saw. They weren't really sure.
Yeah, well, I think that you hit the point right there, Glenn. That's exactly, I think, it's my understanding, that's exactly what they want the officials to do. For some reason, they didn't do that. So on a play like that, I think the standard procedure for the officials is to call it a touchdown and then take a look at it. The crazy thing about that play was it was called a touchdown.
Right.
And then they conferenced and decided not to make it a touchdown. But the fact that they called it a touchdown kind of already put it into a review. Unfortunately, I didn't have any challenges left, so there was nothing we could do about the play. But, I think, from a officiating mechanics standpoint, my understanding is that's what they would want to do. But, you know, they didn't do it. Look, officials, coaches, players, sometimes even sports radio people make mistakes.
No, when?
So
when?
It's, you know, this is what it is.
Some one example. Go ahead.
So, Bill, you brought up the challenges. And I know you explained, I think, in the conference calls. I wonder if you could do it here as well. That first challenge, because they obviously spotted the ball wrong. They were off by a yard. But in order for you to win it, it had to be before the first down?
Yes.
They couldn't just go from the 40 to 39 and say, hey,
no.
It's still a first down, but you won that challenge.
Nope.
Can't do it that way.
No. No, otherwise you'd move the ball 6 inches and you win a challenge, but it doesn't really change the play. So we don't want that as a rule. Would be, you know, again, challenging 6 inches or a foot or whatever, that doesn't really make any difference. But if it's short of a first down, that's a whole different story. So that's really the line of demarcation there, and I agree with that. I mean, we don't want to be challenged.
N'Keal Harry, so only had two snaps, but the one ball that he did catch, he looked really good. What's a guy like that need to do? I feel like he's played in four games, almost like a preseason, kind of knocks some of the rust off. What's a guy like that need to do to earn more reps, more playing time?
Yeah, well, as you know, Christian, it's games are the game plans of certain personnel groups, and then sometimes that's a function of what the defense is doing and what we're in and so forth. So, you know, it's a week-to-week thing. You know, we'll see how it goes this week, but – you know, nobody's – we don't go into the game and say, this guy's going to play this many plays, this guy's going to play that many plays. You know, we set it up by personnel groups, by plays, and sometimes the wheel spins at a little higher frequency for, you know, one player, one grouping than another. And, you know, we're not going to go into the game and say, all right, well, you know, this guy plays this many plays, and that you just can't call plays like that, or I don't think you can run a team like that, so – and we'll see how it goes.
Are you guys careful to not give him too much to digest as far as what he will be expected to do in a game? Is he just learning one position so he can just master that, or are you guys trying to get him to learn multiple spots?
Oh, well, N'Keal's been with us for a long time. He spent a lot of time learning. I don't think that's really the issue as much as it is execution and timing and, you know, being able to do those things, you know, on the field in competitive situations against defenses that, you know, give you a lot of different looks and do different things. So, again, he's a smart kid. He can play, and he's played. He's played a lot in preseason or in the spring and then in preseason up until the Detroit game and then since he's come back. So, you know, it's really just the question of him continuing to work. And, as you know, there's a lot of plays in our offense. It's not just, you know, two or three plays or a couple routes or something like that. And so he's working at all of them. He's getting better at all of them.
Okay.
I don't know. I know at the end of the first half, you guys have had a ton of success here, but something happened in that first half that we don't usually hear at Gillette Stadium, but the fans actually booed at the end of that first half. Did you hear the boos, and what was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I answered that last night. We're concentrating on winning here.
So you weren't surprised? Or you? I didn't hear you last night. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we got a tape of it.
I'll go back and check it out.
All right, Cincinnati. Coming up, we're on to Cincinnati, as we used to say. We haven't seen an awful lot of them, so what concerns you with them? They've had a rough season.
Well, they're a very talented team, and you know, they're a very aggressive team. They basically run the Rams offense, you know, Coach Taylor. And, you know, they're an aggressive defense with some of the kind of Philadelphia principles and Giants principles, you know, mixed in there together. So, you know, good pass rushing group, aggressive team, always good in the kicking game with Darren Simmons. And, you know, he's been there for a long time. So they're solid in all three phases. You know, they have some quality, certainly Mixon's a quality back. They have good depth of tight end, and they run the ramp system. So that's, you know what that is. That's a lot of play action, yep. A lot of, you know, mid-zone stretch plays, bootlegs, and so forth. We see how explosive that offense can be. And there's plenty of examples of that from Cincinnati, too. It's not like, well, just the Rams do it. I mean, Cincinnati's got a lot of those plays. They had plenty of them last week and the last couple of weeks against the Jets and against Cleveland last week. So they can move the ball, they can score points, and they can pressure you on defense.
All right, so it brings us to the drive of the week, which is brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. This season, make sure you're dashing all the way. For a limited time, the Mercedes-Benz winter event is here. Go to mbusa.com. /winter event for offer details. All right, Coach. Drive of the week.
Look, it's always good to score off a turnover, a block punt, so we'll take that one. It was a short one, but it was good to play complimentary football and play good defense, force the punt, block the punt, and score two plays later.
Yeah, I heard you say that you thought that there was a possibility that Kansas City was actually going to fake it on their own. They were going to run a fake punt. Did you say that earlier, or did you see that?
Yeah, no, I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, what made you think that? Was it just
the way that they blocked it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think if you look at the play, it's pretty clear.
Okay.
But, you got to take advantage of those opportunities, and we did. And, Butler made a good play, and Nate came free. And so.
All right. The coach has been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners committed to an active game plan on and off the field. All right, Bill, thanks for coming down. Good luck in Cincinnati. We'll catch you back here on Monday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Coach.
Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
And, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. We've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
All right, we got no real last call. It's all brought to you by Cars for Kids. We know how great Cars for Kids are. They're terrific. Gives you an opportunity to help kids, get a car, and you get a nice little...
You get your car. Cars with a K.
Exactly. By the way, have you checked out the
No, I got to get out of here. I got to watch the tape, apparently, from last night.
No, you got to go. There's sound, Lou, that you need to go listen to. All I need is... It's nice that the shoe's on the other foot.
Shoes on the other foot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of wearing the freaking shoes.
Sorry.
I didn't say sorry, did
you
I?
You did say sorry. Ryan, tomorrow.
No, I said, okay, I'll go back and watch the tape.
You said sorry. You apologized.
I'm sorry. Oh, sorry. I didn't hear
sorry.
You last night.
Sorry. But,
sorry. What did I say? Sorry, I didn't hear you last night. I'll go back and look
sleeping.
At the tape.
I was
sleeping. He is so pissed.
He's so... I should.
Well, Jesus. I mean, he talked about the refs last night. He talked about the challenge call. He talked about everything last night. Why has he got to...
You know why? Because he's angry at the fans, just like I am.
Oh, stop
he's angry
it.
At the fans.
Stop
you think it. I'm kidding, right? Well, you think that makes him feel
he's
good?
Just like you.
We're so similar. I disrespect Lou all the time.
All right, boys. We're gonna go home now. We got Mud at Night. He's coming up next.
Angry Lou driving home.
We'll be back tomorrow, 2 p.m. Listen to the tape, Lou. We'll play it again for you tomorrow. We're out of here.
over. We suck.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.